We have a little
Love
film.
Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to SkyPod. We are three astrologers. We call ourselves Access Astrology to bring live, real astrology to you, making astrology useful in your life. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the northern North Dakota to the Canadian border, and we also have Mark. Mark?
Mark Woltz speaking to you from New York City, the west side of Manhattan, over near the Hudson River.
And Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk, looking out at the full moon, or the hopefully full moon. It's not up yet, but I'm waiting for it.
Yeah.
The waning full moon. Yeah.
And what a full moon that was. Last weekend.
It was gorgeous.
My client list was off. It was beautiful, but it was also pretty emotionally tumultuous. A full moon in Scorpio can really stir the pot up with that. Right now, we still have Venus and Mars both in Aries, so there's a lot of emotional charge. Venus and Mars are the two emotional planets. They're in the dynamite sign. They're in Aries. So every emotion, the laughter, the good days, the bad days, the highs, the lows, all have this extra charge behind them, this extra oomph and intensity. And when things are good, they can be very good. When they go south, we have the soldier at the stress clinic in Iraq who shot 5 people today. You know, they can go south pretty fast. So Mercury is retrograde as well, and Mercury is retrograde in its own sign of Gemini. It's going back into Taurus in a few days. And Mercury retrograde tends to increase misunderstandings. Mean well as we do, they can increase misunderstandings. Now, I'm also seeing it send people back into the past, great connections to old friends. I'm pulling up Gads of old writing to review. That's lovely. But the Mercury retrograde can make it so the misunderstandings trigger problems, which then we have this extra charge of the Venus and Mars and Aries behind, which can be difficult. So I ask everybody to take a deep breath when a situation starts to go south. Try not to make decisions in this moment, especially while Mercury is in this very slow place because it just turned retrograde a few days ago. And it's going to be retrograding back up to square Neptune again. So people aren't thinking very clearly. They're thinking very idealistically, but not thinking very clearly. To, in this mood, not make a decision because it won't be our best self speaking. But to listen, unless it really is something that has percolated up from the deepest parts of our heart. For the most part, I'm asking people just to stay with the feeling, notice the emotion, be in the emotion rather than try to tell a story about it or make a decision from it or decide they have to leave or start in or move across the country or whatever the decisions that my clients keep going on. I have to do it this way. I go, well, let's just take a day. Just take a deep breath, and we'll see how we feel tomorrow with it and watch and see how fast the energy shifts. So this charge is wonderful when people do get started on a project that Venus and Mars and Aries can give them the oomph to put, you know, big spurts of energy. Venus and Mars and Aries is not marathon running energy. It is sprinting. But we can really make it in a sprint. We can clean a closet in a sprint. We can write a paper in a sprint. We can, you know, dig a garden in a sprint. We can do that intense energy. We're not really feeling like pacing ourselves at the moment. It's kind of bursts of energy and moments of laziness. And Mark, what are you seeing as the high points of the week?
I think that's good advice to not try to make up stories about what you're feeling, but rather be with the feeling right now. That's also good advice for dealing with the Jupiter-Neptune Chiron conjunction in Aquarius.
Yes.
Because we'll tend to, you know, make up stories there with Neptune and Jupiter involved, and it'll be about Chiron. And one of the dangers there, actually, is the kind of story we would make up about our feelings could easily involve scapegoats, and mm-hmm. could be a lot of creation of scapegoats in order to deflect our own feelings or step out of our own feelings. And that's something to watch out for. So if you start hearing scapegoat stories, try to look and see, you know, what's the primary feeling, and what's trying to be deflected here, or, you know, put on to someone else. But that's something that happened with that Neptune Chiron, and then you throw Jupiter in there. It would be big stories. So something to watch for.
Huh? Really big stories, yep. Yeah. No, I kind of am looking at the Saturn station. Saturn's stopping at the end of the week on Saturday, and he's been going retrograde since the end of December, and he's going back to the point he was at in September of this year, last week in September, first week in October. And so that time is up, and he's also triggering very actively the chart from 9/11, you know, when he was back there on September 11th, 2001. So there's a link kind of across time and space between 2001 and now and last fall. And last fall, of course, was we were in the presidential election, and now we've got Dick Cheney on the news, you know, talking about the, you know, being prepared or not being prepared and on the whole torture memo thing. And I think for each of us, if we think back on what we were doing in the fall of 2001 and what we were doing in the fall of last year, and then we kind of look now at where we are in our life, it will help a lot in terms of processing all this switching, changing energy, because Mercury in Gemini is going backwards, and it's in the most psychic and the most clear-minded spot, but it's in Gemini. So Gemini's a con artist, too. So there's an energy of telling you things that you don't really see, and the Sabian image for it is really interesting because it's the glass looking through the bottom of a glass-bottom boat. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a glass-bottom boat, but what it does is it takes the waves away, and you can see to the ground. You can see below you, but you have to look, you know, in the delusion or the illusion of the moving water, and you don't really can't really see. But the glass-bottom boat, because it's below the surface of the waves, if you kind of tune into your psychic stuff, it will tell you what the story is. It will tell you what's going on. It will tell you what's truly, deeply real. And that's the space to stand. And to recognize that all this stuff is all swirling around you right now, with the idea being of presenting something and then it disappears, presenting another thing and it disappears, presenting a third thing and it disappears. And it's like, it's okay. What does your heart desire? We went through this long Venus retrograde process all spring, helping you get clear on what your heart's desire was. Helping you think about what was your deepest desire, what do you desire next, and just hold that in your mind and move towards it, because that's the place where clarity lives. And all the rest of it, just a lot of noise. But in the meantime, it is Saturn stationing, so it can feel kind of hard sometimes, because Saturn pushing on a point, it kind of grinds in, and it makes us feel a little bit maybe past overwhelmed or a little bit past tired. And so the other part is just to really be gentle. I don't know. I love Saturn stations because they're so clearing and they're so crystalline and you see things so clearly that you never saw before. On the other hand, they are really times of tears. And, you know, I know myself, I've been a little bit more emotional and reactive, you know, and just kind of a little, and then the other part of it is like, no, if I listen to my inner heart, I really do know what I want. I just have to be quiet and be brave enough to take a teeny tiny step, or lacking a teeny tiny step, just don't do the old behavior anymore. Just kind of don't do the old thing. Just kind of stand still. So.
And if you still don't know what you want, that's okay, because this week will continue to help you clarify that.
Yeah.
Want in your heart. Your head will still be confused for, you know, another month, but wanting in your heart, knowing what your heart wants. Uranus goes through a semi-square from Neptune to Chiron. It goes through the semi-square to Jupiter. And then, you know, it heads into some other, and then semi-squares Mercury. So our Venus is pretty stimulated this week. That will continue to add to those emotional extremes. But it can also help us, it turns the volume up so we do know what we love. We may be in a tough situation as Saturn turns direct, as you said, for the first time since the first of the year, and having coming out of the shadow as it's been since October, that that some of the tough decisions that we've had to make this year now become more obvious. And that can mean the tough decisions that we had to work hard at a class. Now the proof is in the pudding and we're finishing the class. If it was a tough decision to step away from, for me, I'm really feeling the stepping away from New York City and the need to be here. That doesn't mean I'm cutting off my contact to New York. But there's been very clarifying questions this week that have said, do you reinvest in New York at the level that you were, or do you step forward into this work? You have to choose. Where do you take it? Mm-hmm. How can you not see it quite the polar opposite, A or B, but hear where the work really is building in your life?
And hear where it's calling you, too.
Right. And it may be whispering at the beginning of this week, and the call may pick up towards the end of the week as Saturn turns direct. But it is, Saturn doesn't make us happy about the decisions at the beginning. But the Saturn decisions feel right once we've made them. They're that takes much more of our maturity than we would like often to follow through on those decisions. And Venus and Mars and Aries are not particularly mature. They want what they want when they want it. So there is some stress this week between the parts of us that have these emotional urgencies and a deeper calling for security, for real work that matters, for finishing up a dharmic cycle, completing a sense of dharma underneath. And we may be at a task, often with Saturn station, I find that some emotional responsibility that we have to a pet, to a work, to a person, needs to be seen through, needs to be finished. A cycle needs to be completed, and a new one can begin as Saturn starts to move forward and then moves out of its shadow. So even though there's this fresh spring energy about getting on with something, we may find that emotional karmic cycle of finishing that completes this week as we get ready to turn around and move forward. Because we're moving in such a foggy Mercury retrograde, and then Mercury moves back into its Neptune square coming up, it's important for us to trust that our heart can see more clearly than our logic. Doesn't mean we don't back it up with logic and test it out, but if we just try to think it through, we can think ourselves in circles. And then listen to to feel it, and then check our feelings with our mind, but don't start in the mind, or we might just, you can find yourself on a merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. Mark?
Yeah, it's really true that Saturn doesn't feel like a lot of fun for making decisions on, but it's very clear. And the one thing that can happen with Saturn decisions is whatever you have to let go of. Saturn is very good at giving us permission to just cut loose whatever, because what happens is Saturn shows us very clearly what hasn't worked. And, we've been going back and forth about, well, maybe I should try this a little longer, or try it from another angle, or give this person another chance. And when Saturn shifts like this, we find the resolve to say, if this was going to work, it would have worked a month ago. Time's up, mm-hmm. And Saturn gives us the time's up signal right away. Time's up. It's over. It's already done. And that's the one thing that you get a really clear read on with Saturn. And it's actually very helpful, because otherwise we do tend to hang on and keep trying to get some, like an old car at a certain point, you got to give up on it. Or it'll just, nickel and dime you to death. And, Saturn will come along and say, that's it. You can't keep putting money into this heap. It's time to change it. Let this one go. Maybe somebody else can work with it, but it's not you. let it go. And that all becomes really clear. Do we need to give our phone number for people to call in if they're out there listening?
Sure, if guests want to call in.
Yes.
Yeah, 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881, and it looks like we have a caller on the line. So I will pick it up. Hello, caller.
Hello, I was listening to your show just now, and it really resonates with me.
Okay, great.
I have...
Wonderful.
It's a relationship issue. One has my head and one has my heart.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I've been with the one with my head.
And your birth information? When
August,
were you born?
August 30th, 1961.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And 1951. And 61. Do you know what time?
51 or 61?
61.
61.
Six or five? I'm
six.
Sorry.
Six.
Okay. And what time?
I don't know the time.
Okay. And you said that you have two people involved?
Yes.
In life?
Yes.
Hmm? And you're caught, you know, in an emotional tension between them?
Yes, because...
Is there anything, any advice you'd like from us on that, or are you just want to help just share your experience of that?
Well, I'd like advice. Do you see anything coming to a breaking point?
Resolution would be a better way. I'm looking at Saturn going to Mercury right now.
Yeah.
A lot of times with a chart like yours, you have to kind of pay attention to the triangles, because there's a tendency to get into triangles with people, meaning you, them, and a third person, or you, them, and a third thing. And so when that happens, I always like to suggest to the people that they invite the positive version of a triangle. You ask for the higher version of that to show up, or you ask for a positive version, so like a therapist as opposed to a drug or an alcohol problem. But it also speaks to kind of giving a little bit more rein to emotional freedom, which is what you're really doing. And you also have some stuff that suggests that it should be clearer towards the end of this month when you've got stuff going over your south node. And also it not really truly clear until August. At that point, you're going to be a little clearer because Saturn will be finished with your Mercury.
You've been on a major,
you know, karmic curve this year anyway, as Saturn's gone over your Pluto and Sun. You've just done a lot of what we call karma slogging. And it feels like you're beginning to come out of that Mercury, with Uranus still going back and forth squaring your Mercury. It's really not easy for you to make a decision right now.
No.
You know that.
Yeah.
If you can stay in here and stay honest, it feels like the decision will ripen for you, that you're being pressured to make a decision, but it may not be time. I want you to, you know that you can't really choose between your head and your heart. It's like asking you, which leg do you want to stand on?
Yeah.
They're both very strong aspects of you. You know, and decision-making is not your idea of a good time with your Mars in Libra. And if it looks to me like you know that one of these people understands you better than the other.
Yes.
And the other one, you like the reality that you go into with them, but it's beautiful, but they don't really understand you.
Yeah.
And I think as the dust begins to clear over the next few months, that the person who really understands you will be what you really need. But...
Okay.
Wait, you know, just stay honest and stay real and stay in the moment with them throughout this month would be my suggestion.
Thank you.
Yeah, and actually really through the summer, because once Saturn has moved beyond your Mercury, it then trines your natal Saturn, and you'll really have a sense of where the stability is and who you should be with for the long haul and for a stable situation, and that'll work for you. It's hard for you to read your emotions, and very often you set up a situation where you suffer through your partner, and you want to be aware of that, know what it brings you, and then also know what it is that you actually need. And the way to find that out is to go back and find your own sense of empowerment from within you. You have that. It's very deep. You have a very deep sense of a core strength. And so look and see, where do you stand to have the least wobble, okay? And you're going to find that by late in the summer. You'll know exactly when you're with one person and when you're with the other, where do you have the least wobble and you really feel like you're centered. And that'll make the decision very clear.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, it'll feel much better once we get to August. But until then, your job is with that moon in Taurus is to really just listen to what the heart's desire is. You have a very clear heart with that Venus in Leo. And it's all about honor and love and caring. And if it's negative voices or negative self-criticism with all the Virgo stuff, you have to kind of say, what my heart's desire is this, and how do I mobilize towards that? And then if you take time every day to do Venus things for yourself, music, singing, rub, creams or oils on your body, eat a piece of chocolate, pick flowers, smell things that make you feel beautiful and make you feel connected to nature, that will help your moon and your Venus decide. Because really what you need is a little bit of both, but the choice presented to you is not a true choice. It's a false choice. Both parts are needed. The head and the heart need to be served. And you kind of think it has to be one or the other, and your chart says, no, you're here to kind of link the both, and really, truly, is to follow the heart, because your north node's in Leo. And it says, okay, follow your heart, because your heart will give you the truth, or follow the love. Maybe the better way to say it is follow the love and don't listen to the fear.
Okay.
But you're going to know better by the end of August, beginning of July.
August.
And we have another caller on the line, too. So do you have any more questions?
Thank you very much. No, that helps a lot.
All right. Have a good week.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. All right. So I'll try and get the next one in. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was listening to your show, and it was very informative and very interesting because, just like the other caller, I could very much relate to everything that you have been saying.
Very cool.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Did you have a specific question or just a thank you, we're doing a good job comment?
Well, that. Also,
which we always like to hear.
We like to hear.
It's like I also wanted to share. It's like for me over the past year, it's like my whole life got really turned around. I got shaken with my family life, my school life, my relationships and all that. And I'm like, what's going on? And it's only now that I'm getting...
When were you born?
I was born in November 24, 1982.
Yes. Do you know what time?
5:51 a.m.
And where?
I was
51.
In Manila, Philippines.
Where?
Manila.
Oh, Manila, Philippines. Cool.
Yes. But I'm now... I moved here in California in 2007.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
It's only now that I'm learning about astrology and how the planet affects us and stuff, and somehow I'm really, I really feel like I'm really getting affected by all of this.
Yeah, sometimes it feels there are times in our life when it just feels more present and more solid.
Yeah.
It does look like you've been through a lot of change in a short period of time. Your sun is at 1 degrees of Sagittarius, and your moon is at 2 degrees of Pisces. So they're right close to each other in degree. And so whenever a planet changes sign, they're going to affect you.
Oh, wow.
And you're very responsive. You've got a lot of determination in your chart. You've got a combination of tremendous sensitivity. You feel everything.
Yes, I
but
guess.
Also determination and ambition. And sometimes that's kind of hard. It's like someone with this very strong engine and the sensitive bumper.
Uh-huh.
So you're not going to let it stop you, but you're going to feel things.
Yes.
And your life, in general, you tend to prefer the excitement to boredom, even if it hurts a little. So you've got a lot of possibilities coming up for you. It does look like your life has been through a lot of change, but you can handle it better than most people.
Okay.
After this year, it will begin to calm down. Pluto won't be resonating off your chart, and it's going to actually won't come down for a while. It's going to be a couple of years when there's one change after the other, but this one may be the toughest one, and I think it can change for the better after this.
Okay.
Was there a specific question you had for us on that on your chart?
Probably my relationships with guys, because that's where I feel like that's where it always starts. When it doesn't work, I feel like my whole life plummets down.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
well,
what I think one of the issues is that, I mean, you've got in your natal chart a loaded first house. And sometimes when one house is too heavy, we put the energy in the opposite house, and the opposite house is the seventh house of partnership.
Developing
your sense of self is going to be the most important. Even more important, to help you with your relationships, you need to know who you are when there's no one around. You need to love yourself no matter what mood your partners are in. And you need to like your work so that your sense of self doesn't fluctuate with their moods.
Okay.
And then the relationships begin to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say, Anne?
Yeah, and also the year you were born in 82, there was two very powerful planets that were joining. And what they are all about is for you to understand about the changeable nature and the vision of what love is for you. Because there's an enormous vision. You have an idealized vision maybe a little bit, or an idealized version of what love is. And so in the daily living, you know, there's always a question of, okay, well, that's the ideal. What's the reality? And part of your chart is about saying, well, okay, what my vision is this. Because you can be a little bit like Don Quixote, you know, kind of saying, okay, well, this is my vision. And then the reality comes in and you kind of go, well, that's not my reality. But it's kind of finding the balance between the two, and to understand that in that kind of changing energy of it, it's a very powerful place to sit. But it's to understand about what your version of reality is, what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a deep spiritual sense with the Jupiter in the 12th. So I would also check in with your spidey sense, or your little sense of, oh, I don't think this is quite what I want. And listen to that voice more, maybe, than to what other people say to you.
Okay.
Because your chart can kind of hear other people saying, well, you know, you should do this, and you should do that, and you should do this. And
yeah.
You kind of go, oh, okay. And then you lose you.
Yeah.
But really in there, if you listen to the soul, your little soul voice, your Jupiter in your 12th, it's always going to guide you well. Because on a core level, there's a part of you that goes, nope, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it, but it's giving that voice permission to come out. And I often find with people with a Pisces moon, they know that they hear the voice, but they don't always listen to it, because they go, well, you know, they told me it wasn't true, so
yeah,
maybe I'm wrong and I should listen to this. You know, listen to them instead of listening to my inner voice. And for you, it's always listen to your gut. Put your hand on your stomach and say to your stomach, okay, what do I feel? Or put your hand on your feet. Hold your feet.
Okay.
And ask your feet what's going on, because they'll tell you. So good luck with it. Keep us posted, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. We have a minute left. Mark, you haven't talked. Heather and I have been hogging the line.
Yeah, right.
Any last words of wisdom for everybody?
Just for our last caller, when all those changes are happening, it's just you find it hard to integrate and, you know, integrate everything. You handle the changes, but then with me, it's where you feel not so integrated. But you'll find that. Just hold to, I would say what Anne says, hold on to your feet. They know where you're at. Okay. So thanks for calling in, to both of you.
And if anybody wants to hear us, check in on and find out more about us, go to astronyc.com, astronyc.com, and call in. Go to our blog talk and call in at 11 o'clock on East Coast time on Monday nights. You can access us all week long on the blog spot, but you can reach us in person on Monday nights at 11.
And remember, this week you're going to feel a little bit, Yeah, you're going to feel a little bit like an emotional ping pong ball, which is totally right. That's exactly where you're supposed to be. So just play, kind of relax into the process of gathering information, learning, feeling everything swirling around you in real big change. Any last words, Mark?
Feet on the ground, start digging in the garden.
Yeah.
This is Heather saying goodbye from North Dakota.
And Mark.
And we have who?
And what, Mark?
Mark from New York.
Yes, and?
See you next week.
Yep, and Anne from New York. See you next week, guys. Have a good week, and remember, Saturn stationing. It'll feel better next week. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Okay, bye.